This morning we're going to look at a lot of scripture. First one's found Matthew 7, and many of them I won't make you turn. I've written them out so I can read them without turning to save a little bit of time. We're talking about the subject of prayer. You have your prayer bulletin there you were given this morning. If you look at it for just a second, on the front of it it says, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We were given these at the men's meeting at the Wilds and told to find a place of seclusion and to spend an hour in prayer. And if you read this pamphlet, and when you get over here to I Am Here Alone with God, and it starts asking you all these questions. Am I really concerned about revival? Yes, we are concerned about revival. God's people need reviving to be spiritual and walk with God and be witnesses to the unsaved so that they might be saved. Am I willing to pay the price for personal revival? Cost something to surrender everything to the Lord. Folks that are here every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, visitation, all that sort of thing, it costs them something to do that. It costs them time. It costs them their energy. It costs putting other things aside. I learned a long time ago, if you're going to spend more time with God, you're going to have to spend less time with something else. And it gives us a reminder. This pamphlet by itself could bring revival when you read it and heed it. On the back it says, pray for yourself. Number four, pray for yourself for cleansing and strength and courage to forsake the sins confessed. Because if we're not spiritual people, we won't have power with God in prayer. Sin hinders our prayer life. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for revival. Join me in spending more time in prayer in these next 40 days. I think the 40 days starts Tuesday. Where's Bob? There you are, right in front of me. Tuesday will begin 40 days until the evangelist will be here on Sunday. He'll preach three services on Sunday, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. And at 10 a.m., he'll preach just like it's Monday night of a revival meeting. And then Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, he'll be with us, and then he'll be flying back home. So please be in prayer for him and for his spiritual condition and for safety and all those things. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, ask and it shall be given you. That word ask can be translated prayer. The word for prayer from the Greek language is often meaning asking. In one of our songs we just sang, it talked about our wishes being known to God. There's a word that makes prayer as wishes, that we, based on God's word, we wish with a proper sense the things that we need. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. I want us in these 40 days to seek to draw close to God, to seek his power, to seek the ability to invite people and see people get saved. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if he ask his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Let's pray. Father, we draw close to you this morning. We praise you and worship you and give you the response that we should, that hallowed be thy name. And we ask of you, Father, to meet with us and bless the word today to the hearts of your people. There are a number of people watching live streaming. We remember Shelley's family and pray, Lord, that you would comfort them and meet their need. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless now because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer is needed. The church cannot survive without the prayers of God's people. Our daily life needs prayer. We don't need to go out and face the world, make decisions, put ourselves in harm's way if we haven't even prayed that morning and asked God to help us and protect us and guide us and help us to do His will. We pray when trouble comes. We think about God. People in the battlefield will call on God when they claim they didn't even believe God because they know their life is a handbreadth that could be gone in a moment. We pray for health and sickness and all these folks that are listed in our bulletin that have physical needs and health needs and problems. We pray for getting hold of the Lord about this revival meeting, that God would be pleased and that the right things will be done. Prayer is communication with heaven. It's how we talk to God. It's how we listen for God to speak to us, and then we read His word to find Him enlighten us and answer to the prayer that we have made. God wants us to stay in constant communion with Him. In other words, though we say amen, we never cease to be in an attitude of communication with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, Jesus spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is an imperative or a command that men ought to pray always and not to ever faint or cease to pray. We're not to break our communication with the Lord in any way. The Greek language gives us seven words that are used for prayer. While I'm mentioning that, turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Those seven Greek words are translated prayer in one form or another. The first one is asking to pray. That's the most common. Intercession, as we pray on behalf of others. You're reminded our Lord makes intercession for you and for me with the Father. And we are to make intercession for others in praying for their needs. Supplication, a humble request or petition, often with tears. Requests, petitions, letting our list of things be made known to God of what we're asking Him to do. The giving of thanks, Eucharist, the giving of thanks, to thank God, to be a thankful people, to appreciate what all God has done for us. Praise. That's a part of our worship to God. Praise. And then beseech, to call to one's aid. In Revelation 5, and looking at verse number 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and looked, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. The word odors could be translated incense. This was burned before the Lord with the prayers of God's people. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Look at chapter 8. Just turn over to chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God, out of the angel's hands. Our prayers are kept in heaven. They are offered to God as a sweet-smelling savor with the incense that is burned before the Lord. Brother Bob's been teaching on Thursday morning. He started with the book of Luke, and we saw how it was Zacharias' turn to go into the outer part of the holy place and to offer the incense. And there Gabriel spoke to him and told him he and his wife would have a son. And he told him something important about this morning. Your prayers have been heard. They've been praying for a child for a long time. They were old people. What was it they said? Well stricken in years. I see some well stricken in years people out here. And when I look in the mirror, I see another one. And you see, they've been praying for a long time. God heard their prayer. But it wasn't God's timing to do this for them without making it a miracle of having a son in their old age and for him to be filled with the Spirit of God before his birth. At his mother's womb, he was filled with the Spirit of God. It was John the Baptist, the forerunner, who came to prepare the way of the Lord. And you and I are like John. We're giving the message for people to repent of their sins and prepare themselves, for surely the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We think about prayer, there's so many things that we could say. Sadly, we spend short amounts of time in prayer, and most of that is in asking requests. The key in understanding prayer is found in 1 John 5 and verse 14 and 15. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, we know that if we prayed in his will, we can be confident that he will grant the request that we have brought before him. Now, he may not do it on our time schedule. You know, we often say God says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait a while. And that's a simpleton's way of thinking about how God responds to us in our prayers. Our prayer is important. It's easy for us to have faith in God's ability to do anything and everything, the creator of the world and the miracles that have been done and recorded for us in the Bible. We can easily say we have faith to believe in God's ability. The problem is when we pray, we don't always know what the will of the Lord will be in the outcome of a situation, how he's working. In Philippians 4, if you want to turn there with me, Philippians 4, many of you know this passage very well, beginning with verse 6. Be careful for nothing. I want you to notice four words for prayer in this passage. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we, as righteous people, pray in the will of God and lay requests at the feet of the Lord, then we can get up and leave our burden with the Lord and believe that God has heard us and will answer our prayer. And we don't have to carry it around worrying about it day and night about what is God going to do. God's going to do what is right. When Silas and Paul were beaten and cast into prison, simply because Paul had turned to a young woman who was possessed of a demon and rebuked the demon from her, now she didn't have power to help those that were her masters earn money off of her, telling people their fortunes and this kind of thing. So they went immediately to the authorities. This man's causing a problem. You know, they beat Silas and Paul and cast them into prison. We don't find in the context of that in the book of Acts that they prayed for God to deliver them. What we find is they were singing and praising God in prayer, and God sent an earthquake and broke the jail down. And as a result of it, the jailer got saved, and his whole family got saved. And they followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And then Paul said, look, we're not leaving yet. We're going back to the jail. The authorities are going to come and release us officially because they put us in prison and beat us unjustly as Roman citizens. Everything we should pray. There's an urgency in prayer. Let our requests be made known to God. Give our burden to the Lord. There's a second thing about prayer. If you're still in Philippians, back up to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Most of you know Ephesians 6 is the text that deals with fighting against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. To do that, we've got to put on the whole armor of God. Part of that armor is our knowledge, salvation, and what we know from the Word. And we're to have our breastplate of righteousness before God, our loins girt about with truth and truthfulness, our feet shod with the preparation to go forward for God, and carrying the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But then there's something else added, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then verse 19, Paul said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Praying. These Greek words, these words translated for us in English as supplication and prayer, asking, interceding, praying that God would do something. And Paul says, for me, with all the miracles that were attributed to Paul's ministry, and all the people saved under his ministry, and all the churches started under his ministry, yet he asked for the prayers of the people that they would pray for him, that he might have the boldness to preach the gospel, that he might have from God what he needed to have power. Watching. That's an important part of our prayers, that we watch. Jesus asked his disciples to pray with him. And you know the story about that. He went alone to pray, left them at a spot, asked them to pray with him, for he was sorrowful even unto death. He was about to go to the cross, be separated from his Father on the cross, bear the shame and iniquity of the cross, bear every sin of mankind upon him while he died. And they went to sleep three times. Matthew 26 tells us Jesus came back to them and they were asleep, and he woke them and he said, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? That's what we're asking you to do in this prayer vigil for 40 days. As oft as you can, spend time in prayer and remember the requests and remember the revival and watch that God would help us and overcome the adversity that is working against us. Pray lest ye enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is what Jesus said to his disciples just before he died. He'd already spent 3 years with them, teaching them and training them, and now he's about to send back up to the Father, and he shares this with them, that they are weak and they're not watchful and they couldn't pray even for an hour. They fell asleep. Now the Bible teaches us it is required of us to have daily prayer, a daily time of being alone with God, a daily time to lift our needs and petitions. Busy people are often so busy, they get robbed of the time of spending in the Word of God and of time in prayer. It's raining and my nose is wanting to rain too. All of us have sometime have desired to do something spiritual and something steals our time. When you pray, it's best to turn your phone off. It's best to get a private place. The closet is what it refers to. But here in church, we're praying as a body of believers for the church and for the needs of the church. God understands if you've got an ox in the ditch, but you don't have an ox in the ditch every day. It's a matter that we find time and make it a priority to spend time in prayer. Thirdly, think about the God to whom you pray when you pray. Jesus taught in prayer to call him Father. Father. A name that is holy and revered. I want to say to you, church, your Father wants to hear from you. You ever been away and didn't call your parents? And they rebuke you because they needed to hear from you. My mother had the Red Cross send a telegram that caught up with me in Japan, where I had just been medevaced from the hospital in Da Nang when they figured out I was going to live. 2 weeks after I was wounded, they medevaced me to Yokosuka, Japan, to the Naval Hospital. But I landed in Tachikawi at an Air Force base. And when they took me into the little Air Force hospital to spend the night to go to the Navy hospital the next day on a bus hanging from the ceiling in a gurney, you know, that telegram caught up with me right there. Your mother wants to know what's wrong and why you haven't contacted her. I was not able to write. I was in a bed. I was under medication continuously, but my mom knew. She got a telegram from the Marine Corps, said I was wounded in action, and she wanted to know I was okay. So she had the Red Cross send a telegram to track me down. And so they brought me a phone and said, call your mother from here. I said, boy, my mom's not going to like this. It'll be a big bill from calling from Japan, you know. We pray to God. We pray to our Father. A pastor went into a hospital many years ago. It was in England. He went into a hospital, and there was a man there in the hospital, and he said, you know, I come and I want to pray with you about your sickness. He said, I've been praying to God, but he hasn't heard me. He hasn't helped me. The man said, let me explain something to you, sir. He said, if the king came into your room right now, and you looked at him and said, give me some money. You think the king would do that? And he said, no. He said, but what if the Prince of Wales, his son, was with him? And he asked, Father, would you give me money? He said, yeah, he probably would give his son money. He said, that's your problem. You've got to have a relationship with the Father first before you ask and bring your needs and petitions unto him. Know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we are justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Relationship with God first, and then bring our petitions and needs. Fourthly, James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Does that mean that when we don't avail with God in prayer, we're not righteous enough, we didn't pray long enough, we didn't pray hard enough? You know, what is it? Well, that's not what the scripture means. Effectual fervent is one word in the Greek language. That's the word that we translate energy or energia. It means to energize. It means active power in operation. And let's look at a few verses where that is used. It's translated working or worketh in several passages. Ephesians 1 and verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That working of the power of God is in us. That energy of God is in us. It can be used about Satan working in unbelievers' lives in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Pardon me. Philippians 2 and verse 12 through 13. God is at work in us. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. These passages deal with God working in man, and it's the same word for energy that is effectual and fervent prayer. Availeth much. To avail is strength and ability. Our prayers are strong because we are righteous before God as saved people, and because the energy of God is at work in our prayers. And our prayers will then be strong in accomplishment because we're his children and we have his spirit and we're following his will. And when we do that in prayer, it avails much. It accomplishes much. Paul talked about Peter in Galatians 2:8 and said the same way that him, the Spirit and God that were at work in Peter, the same, Paul said, was mighty in me. So we need to pray and think about others who prayed in the Bible and how they prayed. Hannah prayed for a son. She was in grief. She was under persecution by her husband's other wife. She had not had a child and she was barren. So she was praying for God to give her a son, and she would give him back to God to be raised to serve God. And her prayer was heard, and God gave her Samuel, the prophet that turned the nation of Israel to God for many, many years. Hannah, who prayed. Zechariah, who prayed for long years. And God had heard his prayer. And finally, he gave him the answer in a miraculous way. Rachel prayed for children, for a son. And God heard her and gave her Joseph, whose name means adding. God was building the nation of Israel in Jacob's 12 sons. And Joseph was greatly used of God and is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was hated and rejected by his brethren, but he ended up saving all of them from perishing. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. We saw in Matthew 7, Jesus said, knock, it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Prayer is an invitation for God to work in the circumstance that you're bringing before him. Father, when you say that, feel in your heart, if you know the Lord is your Savior, and you say, Father, think that he's saying to you, how can I help you, my son or my daughter? What can I do for you? It's very probably something you can't do for yourself. Prayer's power. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He was more powerful than the king of Babylon, than his enemies who got him cast in the lion's den for praying, and more powerful than the lions, because God shut the lion's mouths and delivered Daniel. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He got depressed. He was discouraged. He thought there was nobody left but him that was serving God. But he locked up the clouds of heaven where it did not rain for 3.5 years by using the key of prayer. And after 3.5 years, he unlocked those clouds and they gave rain. We see Elijah was not inventing this as a way to show off or a way to show how much power he had with God. It was God's will, if Israel worshiped idols, that God would withhold the rain. And Elisha got hold of that truth that God had taught and brought about that circumstance. Paul and Silas prayed and gave praise to God, and God answered their prayers in a mighty way. In Acts 12:5, Herod took James and Peter prisoners, and he killed James. But it was coming time of the feast. He put Peter in prison. But the early church was gathered to pray for Peter. They went to the house of John Mark's mother. And they were in the house praying, and God sent an angel and released Peter from prison. And he knocks on the gate outside the house where the people are praying for him to be released. Wouldn't you like to see something like that in prayer meeting? An answer like that take place? Jim feels like he got one of those the other day when he went to get an injection in his eye and they didn't have to do it. Let's pray for the church to have a revival, for God's people to be pleasing and acceptable unto the Lord. While we're praying, remember the sick and those who have great needs. Pray where you can. In the car, if you drive to work, all of you that drive to Charlotte, turn your radio off and pray and talk to God. You got a good 30 minutes probably before you get to work that you can spend time in prayer. Pray when you're coming home and give him thanks. Let us look at this pamphlet and see some things that we can do to improve our prayer life and our communication with the Lord. God loves you. He wants to hear from you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here. We know this terrible rain all day and the time change and all the sickness that's going around with colds and things is affecting some of the people not being here today. We pray for Shelley's family that are seeking your comfort in her passing. This happened so suddenly, Lord. We were all shocked by it. And we pray that she's rejoicing in heaven today, and we'll have a service to remember her this week. We love you and we thank you for your working through us and in us and by us. Help us to give honor and glory to you and tell people how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen.